Okay. Good morning. Welcome to the Discretionary Fund Committee's wrap-up meeting for, I guess, for 2026. Madam Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Karen Blackburn?
Here.
Tom Alexander?
Here.
Samantha Kirstein?
Here.
Tracy Gatewood?
Here.
Victoria Dowling?
Here.
And Lonnie Marnie?
I'm here. Also in the room is Ms. Sarah First from our famous finance department, and the clerk for the city of Fairbanks, Ms. Snyder. Okay, let's go to the approval of the minutes. We have two meetings here that we need to approve the minutes for, December 2nd of 2025. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Okay, do I have a second?
Yes, Sam.
Okay. Okay, December 3rd, 2025. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
And a second.
Second.
Okay, Tom. Okay. This is a first for me, and I believe all of us on the committee will have a second chance at a presentation. So it looks like we have hopefully somebody online representing the Alaska Wildlights LLC. Can you hear us?
Yes, can you hear you?
Barely. Okay, who am I speaking to?
So I'm Ashley Fuckenkevitz, one of the co-owners, and then I'll let Kyle introduce himself.
Okay. Hang tight. Okay, sir.
Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Okay, great. Kyle Lutkehans, one of the other co-owners of Alaska Wildlife Guide.
Okay. Okay, you have a limit of 3 minutes to do your presentation. So don't, if you have combination or just one person that can do your presentation.
We'll both be chatting. Thanks for the opportunity.
Okay, let's go.
Okay. Good afternoon. As I said, I'm Ashley, and Kyle and I own Alaska Wildlife Guide, a tourism company founded on a deep love for Fairbanks' adventurous and hospitable spirit. I moved to Fairbanks in 2018 with the Army and knew Alaska was my forever home within a few hours. That feeling of mystery, magic, and awe that keeps you from leaving and that you can't quite explain to folks who've never been here, that's the feeling we strive to provide to our guests. We're dedicated to turning Fairbanks into an international destination by curating these unforgettable core memories to folks worldwide. While we currently generate over 70% of our revenue during Aurora season, our goal is to attract tourists year-round.
Kyle here, other co-owner. My wife, son, and I spend several months each year in Fairbanks, and we're deeply invested in growing this community and business. And we plan to do this by creating something new and unique to the area, a zipline park. Now, imagine zipping through hollowed out bush plains or launching off a decommissioned military vehicle, all with the midnight sun lighting up the hills in the background behind you. This will pay tribute to Fairbanks' history while bringing in more tourists here in the summer, which would be promoting and enhancing summer tourism and further driving economic growth. We have families and young adults now staying even longer to experience the adrenaline of what will become North America's northernmost zipline. The park will create summer jobs for young adults and college students whose family and friends will visit, which means more bookings for rental car companies, hotels, Airbnbs, other tour operators, etc., which means a simple result coming from this. More dollars flowing locally and putting Fairbanks even more firmly on the map as a summer paradise.
The $40,000 we're graciously requesting for land development has the potential to generate a ROI exceeding 1.1 million% within a single summer based on 2024 numbers from ATIA. We'll allocate 50% of the grant to land survey costs, 40% to land clearing, and 10% to permit fees. So the math on the returns, on average, a single traveler spends 4 days in Fairbanks in the summer and spends $318 a day. With that, With a family of four, it would only take eight families to inject that $40,000 back into the economy. During the summer of 2024, Fairbanks had 1.4 million visitors who spent $1.7 billion. If you increase that four-day average to five to account for an extra day of zip lining, that's an additional $449 million put back into the economy. That excess revenue is the 1.1 million percent ROI on $40,000. Thank you for your time and consideration, and we're happy to answer questions.
Thank you very much. There'll probably be several questions and probably several rounds of questions, so be patient with us. And so, Karen, as seat A, would you like to begin? Do you have questions?
So I appreciate all the information that you all just gave us, and I do feel like this is a great idea and an opportunity for this community. Myself personally, I'm a frequent traveler, and I love to do things that are outside of the box, and I do see how this could bring, you know, funding to the Fairbanks community. My only question is, why are we receiving the application so late, or what happened with that?
Karen, it was misplaced. Or Danny?
Pause the time, please. Now, we don't want to take the Q&A time for the applicant to answer the question that's internal. It was received and mistaken for a bid and put in our bid drawer and was not discovered until we were cleaning out records in December. It's totally the fault of my office, not the applicant whatsoever.
Okay, thank you. That was my only question, which was not to the applicant. But I love the idea, so.
Well, thank you, Karen.
Thank you. Thanks, Danny.
Okay, Tom?
Yeah, I like the idea myself, too. I think it's it'd be a great thing to have that, something different that people can come up here and see. One question I have is, in your application, you're talking about the, I believe you said 20 acres of land. Have you already purchased that land?
Not yet, sir. We've actually identified about 30 acres up the Elliott north, or just south of Olness Pond. We're waiting on a pre-approval letter from a lender, and then we can submit an offer.
Okay. And then one other quick question I had is that in the application, it looks like you just, unless I read it wrong, that you just had taken over or just bought out a previous owner of this business. Is that correct?
Perfect. Correct, sir. We purchased it in September of 2025.
Okay. And so all the financials in that packet are based on the previous owners during that, when they were operating it, correct?
For 2024 and 2025, yes. And then we forecasted it a bit for 2026 okay. with the employee wages and whatnot.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Tracy, questions?
Well, I agree. I think adding a zip line to Fairbanks would be phenomenal. Not that I would ever zip line. but couple of questions here. In a best case scenario, and I heard you when you said you're waiting on the purchase of or pre-approval to purchase the land. Best case scenario, what's your projected timeline to have this up and running?
Ma'am, I think not this summer, but likely next summer. I think with how busy everyone is in the summer as far as clearing and developers, we're a little bit behind the curve since we can't lock anyone in since we don't have the land built. And then we have to secure like a contract and a bid for those companies that produce zip lines. I know the folks down in Palmer that have the zip line in the valley recommend a company out in California, and then we got to coordinate travel and logistics with them.
Okay.
So summer of 2027.
Okay. And can you tell me again, I missed the number when you were talking about the ROI and the number of families that would make it.
Sure. So based on the Alaska Travel Industries Association's like summer 2024 tourist volume that they did, with the amount of folks flowing into Fairbanks, the return on investment within a single summer would be 1.1 million percent of the $40,000. And then on average, it was one person spends 4 days in Fairbanks over the summer, and they spend approximately $318 a day. So if a family of four were to come up, it would only take 8 families of four to earn that $40,000 back.
Okay. It's worth calling out the 1.1 million percent. It is based on the total addressable market and the high end, of course. But we really like that the low end is simply 8 more families when you're adding this really unique new feature that would attract much.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sam, questions?
Well, I too love the idea, and I have taken my children down to the park to make sure that they had a zip line project or experience. And everything that you say is so well documented, and all of those things, I mean, you have really done a good job of figuring out what we need in Fairbanks to improve the tourist opportunity. But my concern is that I feel like I need some more instruction from the City Council, because all of the projects that we have traditionally funded since I've been on the committee and before that are not projects that we started. They are not project development. They are opportunities for WEO, for example, and other of the other organizations that you see we have agreed to fund to continue their programs, and they're certainly not of the size that you're talking about. So I'm struggling with, it seems to me that maybe the funding request should go to Explore Fairbanks or to JOMO or some of the other groups that actually do business development and are associated with how, you know, you need, I guess I've just never seen a project that's come to us that the city has to start. This is something that is unique to us. So I'm interested to see how the city, what the city's instructions are. We have never had this problem that I know of in the city, but are we a startup organization or are we a maintenance organization with the funds, with these funds? So anyway, I'm waiting to see what the city's advice is on it.
Okay. Yeah. Victoria?
Well, I agree with what everyone else here has said. I think that it's a great idea to extend people's stay in Fairbanks, and it would be fun for people to participate in. But I share some of the same concerns that have been brought up today. I don't have any new ones, but definitely I agree with everyone on the panel.
Okay. Sarah, would you be able to answer the question, like Sam's question, about seeding a new company? Or
I believe there are some guidelines. First, I just wanted to reiterate that there is a requirement for the award to be expended in the year of the award, so they would have to spend this money in 2026 if awarded. There's also some requirements in the FGC, so there is some language I think that revolves around Ms. Kirstein's question. So under the section for the grant guidelines, there's point A, it says contribute significantly to the growth and promotion of Fairbanks. Point B is monies must supplement a successful ongoing program of activities or a new program that will need initial support to accomplish its stated goals. So I think that might help to address that. You're welcome.
Okay, I have a couple of questions. Do you intend on moving to Fairbanks from Eagle River?
Yeah, so I'm still on active duty, so I can get out in the summer of 2027, so I'll be able to move back next year.
And what were, if we did fund this grant, your application, if something went awry with your loan or somebody sold, you know, the land was not available any longer, how would you repay our loan?
Oh, that is a good question that I hadn't considered. We haven't had any issues with repayments at this time, and we plan on tripling net profit within this year, so I don't foresee any issues being able to repay the $40,000. That's also something just directly out of Kyle and I savings that we would be able to put back into the city if necessary.
The other thing I noticed on your application, you're pretty salary heavy. Is that?
That's correct. Yeah. We're actually looking at figuring out ways to cut costs as far as salary and payroll go.
Okay. Committee, any more questions? Okay. Do we need a minute? Does anybody need a minute to finalize their decision, or should we just go to vote? And of course, we have to do a dollar amount also. Tracy?
So I need some guidance on what are we voting on money-wise, because the pot that we had is expended. And so is there more money, or so could someone speak to that?
Sarah, you want to answer that one?
So the funding for this award, if they are awarded an amount, would not affect the $400,000 worth of allocations already made. So nobody who's been given an award would be affected. There is a separate portion of these funds from the room rental tax that goes towards the economic developments, the storefront program. So it would be taking a portion out of that, the funds that are allocated for that program.
I'll add that all the allocations that you've made to the $400,000 have not yet been approved by the City Council, nor has this one. So if the committee gave a number to the chair to carry forward to the council to fund this particular organization, the council could change that or not approve it. Just want that to be clear. So the committee's is a recommendation.
Sam.
So that presents a puzzle for me, because it sounds like this is beyond the ability of the discretionary committee to make a recommendation on something that is going to be paid for with a different budget.
I think we should talk about this before we make a final decision. I mean, as a group, our group, to just kind of hash some of this stuff out.
Well, that sounds like a good recommendation. May we call Ashley or Kyle? Can we call you back or clerk's office notify you later? Excuse me?
That's absolutely no issue. Thank you.
And we have your contact information, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Good presentation. Thank you for your time. We will talk later.
Okay. Thank you all. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your Friday.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So when we reallocated the funds, so at that point, Council, what we did, we capped Explore Fairbanks at $2.2 million. And anything over that, the city and then Explore Fairbanks 50-50. So that is the side of that's where the money pot is on this one. We also went from, I believe, 22% that the city took off right off the top to 23%. And that, I think, was basically for public safety and things along that line. So anything over the 2.2 would be a myriad of things, you know, downtown improvement, just anything that benefits the city. Yes. Yeah.
But that does not fall under.
Yeah. I personally think that from what Sarah read there in our, that this is something that they need to get up and running. And then apply again in a future date. I mean, we're not in the business of startup, I don't think.
I agree.
Sarah?
But it does say a new program.
But wouldn't this count as a new program project that will need initial support?
I believe it would fall under that second portion of that in the guidelines. My concern would be is that they had stated for their what they could purchase, that would be starting in 2027. So that would be more of a 2027 award, because if they turn in a report for the 2026 award and there's been no exchange of any funds, we have nothing to, there's no reason to reimburse that. So I don't know if it's a little premature to ask.
Can I just clarify that? They have no incoming funds or no funds spent?
No funds spent. So they had mentioned that they, someone asked a question about kind of timeline. And yeah, and so if they were looking to do the clearing, they said in 2027, I'm not sure for survey or permit expenses, what of that could be done in 2026, but they would need to spend this money in 2026.
Yeah.
Well, they haven't purchased the land yet.
Yeah, right.
They don't have anything yet. I mean, if they had purchased the land and can actually see that they've got something going on, moving to finish their project, but without even having the property to even clear or permit and all that sort of thing,
so I thought they said that they were, because my question is best case scenario, when will you be up and running? And I thought they said summer 2027. So in order to be up and running summer 2027, something has to happen. And I agree, you know, we're burning daylight here in January in 2026. And then they talked about the fact that there's summer is busy here and things of that nature. So it's unclear to me really what they plan to do in 2026. And it is kind of concerning that they don't have the land.
Well, and then too, they also said that they were wanting to use a company that was out of California. Possibly, and that they hadn't, you know, finalized those details as well as to who was going to do this work to kind of help them out on that. So that was kind of like a red flag as to construction in Fairbanks itself kind of fills up very, very quickly. And it's like you have to plan like 2 years ahead before you can even get work done. And so that was something that I was kind of, you know, questioning. Who was going to do the work, and if they haven't secured that company, then what are they going to do?
Well, they can't secure a company.
They don't have land.
They just don't have it.
So I think the next step would be, would it be to vote, do we have zeros? Is that where we should go next to save a further conversation? Or?
Yeah, to keep it consistent with the normal procedure, I would recommend going through the zero process first. And if we clear that process, then go through the scoring, announcing the scoring.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So do we, I'll ask each seat if there are any zeros. Okay. Karen, do you have?
Yes.
So a zero.
Yes.
Mr. Alexander?
Zero.
Tracy?
Zero.
Sam?
Zero for this year.
Same, zero for this year.
And zero for me also. With full intention that they can apply next year. Hopefully they'll have their property and have more idea what it's going to cost to run the place. I just looked at those salaries and they were just, ooh, for a startup, that's pretty heavy. Okay, so that is our recommendation, Diana, that... No, at this time, but we'd love to see their application again this coming October. Agree? Okay, thank you. Okay, looks like next on the agenda, there's a public comments section here. Do we have anybody? I don't see anybody, but... and I tried to tell people this is a fun committee. Okay, new business. A review of the discretionary fund grant application and committee process. Looks like first thing on the agenda would be a sign-up sheet for the Q&A, and I can go ahead because I was here. And as much as we've seen the people come and go every year, it's hard to kind of point, well, what do they represent, because it was just a kind of a general, you know, question and answer session. So I think it's something to protect us, you know, as far as the application process that, you know, you have gone ahead. I don't think it should be mandatory, but you guys have your own opinions on that. But I think it'd be a good policy to have a a sign-up sheet that has their name and the business or agency that they're applying for, with or for. Do I have concurrence on that? Sam?
I strongly support that idea.
Okay. Tracy?
Are we just addressing, we're just addressing a sign-up sheet now and not the mandatory, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with the sign-up sheet.
Victoria?
I agree with the sign-up sheet.
Karen?
I agree.
Tom?
I do as well.
Okay, so we're done with that one. Okay, now the question should it be mandatory? Go ahead.
I say yes. And the reason that I say yes is many grants have like an intent to apply process that is mandatory. And I'm not saying that we need to get that deep into the weeds with this pot of funding, but we have seen enough small issues. Not that if folks attended, they wouldn't make the same mistakes, but to just have that refresher before they start the grant process, I think would help benefit all organizations. So I would strongly recommend that we make the Q&A session mandatory. It's 1 hour. And if folks can't dedicate 1 hour to refreshing their memory or getting new information about this process, then I think that's problematic.
Okay. Sam?
I absolutely agree with Tracy, and the reason I do is because I've written a lot of grants, and for most of the more formal grants, this is absolutely a requirement, and it does it to protect the agency, but as well as to protect the person. What did the person hear? What did they misunderstand? But there's an opportunity for conversation, and we need to know who was here and what they heard.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Victoria?
I agree with it, too, and I just can only imagine the number of questions that the county department might get from grant applicants asking about questions, so I think that would cut out maybe some work for them as well.
Karen?
I agree. I feel that this would be helpful if every grant that you was applying for had a question and answer session. But I definitely agree for this one because I know that it would phase out some of those that we have to, you know, turn away or not fund simply because they miss, like, the small things. So maybe that would be helpful.
Okay. Tom?
Yeah, I agree as well. I think, you know, during this whole process, I think people change, people come and go. So it's not like the same person does it every year. Some people retire, some people move. So I think it's good to have it be mandatory, come in, and every year we have some boo-boos done on the application process, so this just kind of covers us too. I mean, we're giving them everything they could absolutely want to have.
Yeah, I have one more comment. These people work really hard to write these grants, all of them, and all of their projects are so wonderful, and I have to tell you, it's a little heartbreaking when something that they could have fixed when it's not on the piece of paper. Thank you. One of the big ones that I'm thinking about, of course, is the logo, and wasn't that Ice Alaska 2 years ago? You know, it breaks my heart as well as theirs. So.
Go ahead, Tracy.
One more thing. Yeah. And just, I know that because we all have history now with this committee, that things can seem very clear to us because we know the intent behind the words. So another benefit to mandatory Q&A is we are getting feedback from them on, well, this is my understanding of this, and we're like, oh, no, that's not it. So it can help us again. It's beneficial across the board to tighten up our process.
Well, one question I would have for the committee, since it's mandatory for the applicants, how about as the committee? Is it mandatory for us to be here?
I would support it being mandatory for us as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a consensus?
Yeah, I support that as well.
Okay. Yeah, because it usually is at noon, and I think we're out of here by 1. And, you know, the gist of all that, why that we started that, is we got tired of boo-boos. And I tell you, there was, I wish we had a sign-up sheet, for one, because we didn't, weren't able to place, you know, the different individuals, who they were with, but, yeah, it's one step closer to eliminating error, although, you know, the errors that I, again, this year, were people that waited to the last minute, and human error, really, that, you know, the Yukon Quest thing was the logo again. And that's probably the simplest thing on the application. So, okay, we're done. So next is, this is going to be the big one, the setting a request limit. Yes?
Can we just get a clarification? Does the committee want that Q&A to be Zoom available?
I would say yes, if it's mandatory, that it should be available via Zoom as well.
So how would we mix that between live and Zoom as far as time scale? Or?
I'm not really sure. I think I'd have to work closely with finance on how to do this, especially also now that the committee is going to be involved. So we'll figure it out. We got lots of time.
Okay. Sam?
And that raises another question, is if it's Zoom, then they'd have to be here for the whole meeting because there's lots of parts and pieces to the application process. So just that would make it more complicated, too. They can't just come and listen to the finance part. They've got to listen to the logo part, too.
Well, one thing about this committee I will give you kudos for is we don't set things in stone. If it doesn't work, we change it. So this is a new way to reach out and just see how it goes.
And I just want to speak to why I said I think it should be available via Zoom. Couple of things. One is, you know, depending on when the meeting is, we could have a weather event. Life could happen. And I would hate for us to make something mandatory and then narrow the parameter so we are basically trading off a person making a simple mistake and not being eligible to a person who maybe had something happen and they could do it via Zoom, but they couldn't make it here, and now they're not eligible. So I just, if we're going to make it mandatory, I just want to make sure that we make it as accessible as possible to folks.
I agree. Okay, the big one here is this setting a time or limit on how many dollars. I'll just interject first. I kind of was thinking you have general, the smaller agencies up to $20,000, and then maybe the large ones maybe up to $40,000, but it's going to be your guys' decision, but that's the way I thought it might break out, but... Karen, you want to start, Karen?
I like the tiered idea, too. But looking at, like, some of our requests and then the awards, maybe having, like, a tier, I don't know, tier one to be, like, the ones that are 15K, and then that tier two being those that are, like, double that, so, like, 30K.
And just two tiers?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm afraid that if we put a certain cap on it, if we don't have two different tiers, then, and if we say it's $30,000, that's the most you can ask for, whatever that number is, then everybody's going to ask for that. You know, everybody's going to just put that in there, and then we're just going to have to beat them down anyway. So. I'm all for doing something because it's some of these outlandish requests, and it just keeps getting worse and worse every year, the amount they ask for. So I don't know how we would really do that, whether it's 15, is 0 to 15,000 and 15,000 to 30,000. No, it's...
Tracy?
Supportive of a cap, but I definitely shifted off my axis. So So I do think we need to have, I'm curious for folks who have talked about a tier one and tier two, is there a different application process for tier one versus tier two? Tier one a simpler process, or you just self-identify as one or two and ask for less money?
Kind of, I think I brought it up one other time, is that even if we don't put a limit on it, have it that they can only apply for a certain percentage, raise the, what they got from last year. For example, the Fairbanks Litter Patrol, they got $13,833. They wouldn't be able to apply for any more than like a 3% or a 5% increase on that, and that would be for everybody too. So that's another option.
Well, what if someone has a new business or wants to expand what they're already doing, because that would kind of maybe push them out of just 3% increase too. It's pretty complicated. How do we rein this in without people just going straight to the finish line and asking for the max? I don't understand. I don't know how we can do that unless we do possibly a percentage of their operating budget or something like that. I don't know.
Sam?
Well, it won't surprise any of you that I have actually written a couple proposals to the mayor over the past few years with proposals, and most of them were tiered and also included the idea of I loved your idea of the some increase over the previous year. This is what you got last year. You can't ask for more than, yeah, unless you're writing a new proposal that's doing a different project or something like that. So I don't, I will tell you that I think that there should be an incentive in the tier, and for the smaller ones, and what am I thinking of? Maybe the one of the music steel band, yeah, something like that. There should be an incentive to not ask for more, to have more of an assurance of being funded, something like that. But if they go from 5,000 to 20,000, then and they get into a different tier, then that's kind of where the problem is. But we would like to incentivize them to ask for what they need and not ask for more than they need, because there's a pot that they, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll go back to the one that kind of bugged me the most, and that was the boat in the park.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and when someone is asking for the majority of the funding that we have available, then that we just simply can't have that. Now, I do have two or three grants that I write, and they're very specific, that I write for the food bank. They're very specific about if you ask for more than you need, more than, and actually they usually say more than $30,000 or $35,000, you will not be considered in this proposal. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty tough, but it certainly makes me make sure that what I'm asking for is reasonable in the whole purse.
Percy?
Some other thoughts here. Still, I'm supportive of some type of cap, is capping. They can ask for what they want, but we have a cap on what we will fund. So if they want to lay out a picture of, you know, I want to ask for $50,000, then they go into that knowing that the maximum that we will fund is $30,000. So they can lay out everything for us to see a clearer picture, but we're clear on the front end, whether it's two tiers, you know, for smaller grants, we're going to fund up to $20,000. For larger grants, we're going to fund up to $40,000. So it's just a slight kind of variation on what we're talking about thus far. So just another thought there. I think, Sam, at one point you had mentioned smaller applications. applicants having a streamlined process as an incentive. And so maybe that's another thing to consider. I don't know if a streamlined application process would allow us to meet all of the criteria for what we need, what we are requesting from them, but that might incentivize people as well. So just throwing out other ideas at this point.
Victoria?
I agree with what Tracy said about the streamlined application. I think that if we made it more complicated and easier to fill out, it would incentivize people. And I had a question about the business licensing. Isn't it already kind of a tiered system for the city business licenses? Like different incomes for businesses have different levels of, is that correct?
Correct. The gross receipt earnings for a business determines from the prior year determines their license cost for the current year.
Mm-hmm.
So the more money they make, the more money the license costs. That's how it works for city business licenses.
So if we were to consider a tiered system, we might be able to reflect what the city already does there, possibly? I don't really know what the tiers are or anything.
Yeah, if you want to stop by my office, I can give you a form so you can see.
The only thing I would caution you, I don't know it would, I hate messing with that application because people have come accustomed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we go changing things, it may give us more problems. I agree, less than $10,000 or whatever we set there, we'd have to work with Sarah and Margarita on that, and plus Danny, but I just caution you, maybe we're jumping in.
Well, it was
to me, this is a process, and then maybe next year we look at the mm-hmm. streamline application, the application-wise, but.
There was only three organizations that requested less than $10,000. And there was 10 people that got $10,000 or less. So everybody's asking for more.
So I ask the committee, is this something we want to decide today, or do we give some more thought to this and maybe call another meeting to finalize this? I mean, that's... I knew this would be a big tackle here.
Well, I think we need to determine how we're going to limit it. And it's kind of hard to decide how we're going to, vote on it if we don't know how we're going to limit it. But we want to limit it.
Sam, ideas?
Yes, I have a lot of ideas.
I know.
But, all of these things have great value. What you said is, let's not change the application too much. What you said is really important. I think not giving them more than some percent, 10%, 3% or whatever more than they've gotten in the past, unless they write a new application for a new project. There's lots of value in all of these things. I don't know how you stop, I'm going to say a word that's probably not appropriate, but greed. But when you look at a pot of $400,000 and ask for the majority of it, then I think that's the problem we're trying to stop, and I don't know how you stop that. So.
Tracy?
So just in looking at the grant request for 25-26, so this last round of grant request, there were many grants that I think even if we put a cap, they would not request the cap amount, so which has been a concern. So when you look at the litter patrol, I don't see them going, okay, $50,000, we're going to ask for $50,000. When you look at like coal, steel, pan, orchestra, so these grantees that are really small grantees. They have a small project that they want funded. I would hope that greed would not come into play and they would suddenly go like, oh, well, now I'm going to ask for $40,000. The organizations that are asking for larger amounts are organizations that are doing larger projects. So I'm not sure that I have a concern about if we put a cap, it's going to lead to more people asking for the max. There are things like Fairbanks Arts Association where there is this consortium. If we put a $40,000 cap on that, I think they should be asking themselves, is it worth us trying to do this consortium, or are all 16 of those organizations now going to then apply for their own pot of money? So there's a lot to consider. I feel like we've been kicking this can down the road for a while, and if we don't make a decision today, if we are in agreement that a cap is warranted, that we definitely need to make a decision so that it can be in effect for the next grant cycle.
Yes, ma'am. Was that today or 2 weeks from now? You know, are we willing to come back, or we just want to get this done?
I'm kind of the mind that I don't know what any additional information that I can take in that's going to make me feel more comfortable making a decision, whether it's today or 2 weeks from today. So I'm ready to say this up. Yay or nay?
Sam?
I would agree to a proposal that was similar to what Tom was proposing, and that is you requested this, you received that, and you're limited to in whatever number you want to put, 3%, 5%, 10%, whatever. But something that slows down the process and gets the attention of those people who are writing the grants. We're not going to give you $50,000 for a project that last year we gave you $10,000 for.
Well, the other thing, I don't know.
Pots. We don't want to fill all of Fairbanks with flowers.
I'm just wondering, could we get more harsher or more bold in our statement in the cover letter that says, you know, this is what we have?
Yeah, that didn't work.
It didn't. Yeah. Well, yeah, it didn't.
That,
yeah,
that
you're right.
Seemed to actually, from our intent to what we got, there was definitely like an inverse reaction of like, it was like, yes, we don't have but a small pot of money. Okay, I'm going to just get it all.
They crossed that all.
Yeah.
Danny, you have a comment?
Yeah, when I read the ordinance, after the committee started talking about setting limits, I read the ordinance in Chapter 74 where it talks about the committee and the authorities. I don't believe the committee has an authority to set a limit. I believe the committee has an advisory committee to the city council. The ordinance says that the city council will set the criteria and the standards for the application process and then delegate that work to the committee. I think it's certainly in the committee's purview to make a recommendation if there's a limit that you think needs to be set and make some recommendations there and that Mr. Marnie could carry forward to the council. But I think like a decision today wouldn't affect next year's process in and of itself.
Thank you so much. We should have started with that. Yeah, that would have saved us a lot of time. Yeah.
Well, Miss Bell, Miss Bell broke it down a little bit different when I talked to her this morning, where you have code. We can't do anything about it. We would have to write an ordinance or resolution. But we also have suggested guidelines. And I think they're written, but they're not, you know, is just something that's set by this committee. Well, I don't know how that reflects.
I did run it by the city attorney a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And his advice was in line with what my take was on the code.
Okay.
But we can get another formal opinion if we need if we want to pursue it.
Okay. So let's we've got Tom's. And you said 3%.
Well, I said 3. I wouldn't go any higher than 5. So
Okay, and then...
I guess that could be just a recommendation to be carried forward to the council.
Okay.
So I have a question about that, though. If we were to ask the city council to set a limit, would they be able to write an ordinance to set a limit? So we could recommend that to the city council, and they would approve it or not.
Well, the thing is, if we put it in that guidelines, we can tweak it. If it's set in code, it's going to take an act of the council to change.
So is the guidelines is like the where we were this year, where we're asking people to consider it's a small pot of money, so be reasonable. That's a guideline.
Suggested, yeah.
Which falls under the purview of the committee. I'm looking at you.
Yeah, to okay. some degree, I think that's correct. Yes. Okay.
You know, when I heard this is not under our purview, that's like a hard stop for me. I just feel like, you know, if we want to take this act of Congress to get it through the city council, I don't know how much that takes to get it.
Nothing.
Oh, okay, nothing. So then we would be making a recommendation to the council.
Well, the other day, it had its first reading last Tuesday, but I believe it's in a resolution form where we have eliminated term limits for this committee. So we don't, it's not 2 years and you're out, but as long as you want to serve this committee, because I believe it's a coercive team, and if I'm going bye-bye, whoever takes over this as the chair needs a good team, and that's what we have right here. So it's just a simple, having Ms. Snyder help me write a resolution or ordinance.
Okay, so what were you talking about to change it? It takes a lot.
Maybe I misphrased that.
Oh, to put it in code.
Yeah,
okay.
To put it in code.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. So just to throw in a little concern about the percentage, if an organization who has traditionally done one thing and they want to do something else, they would still have to work within that cap, percentage cap. So for instance, if the coal, steel, drum people, let's see, $3,200 they asked for, but for some reason they expanded this and they could bring more tourists to Fairbanks if they grew the drums and did some stuff, we would still limit them, even though they have a different idea, to what 5% of 3,200. Right.
I'm not sure that we would. Aren't we talking about having them, like, reapply? So, for example, I have to recuse myself, but I know my daughter's business right now, she's doing the market once a month, mm-hmm. the downtown market. But if she wanted to do something else, let's say in July, separate from her downtown markets, in my mind, she would have to fill out her application differently, and it would be a different venture for her, even though it's under her business. Wouldn't there be something where we could, like, uncap that 3%? Or whatever, if it's not the same thing? I mean, if businesses do expand.
So that is the concern that I'm trying to get at, that was like we're locking you into what you've always done. With.
Right, and so if she was to expand, I would think that she would still be locked into that cap of whatever percentage we cap it at, that 3% or 5%. Regardless to what she was doing different, but if she was falling under that same business, then it would still be that business is capped at what they apply for that next year. They can only apply for that 3 to 5%. That's how I would take it.
Well, the main thing here is we only have $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so nobody here got what they wanted this year. Every year I've been on, nobody gets what they want. project. Mm-hmm. So that's going to dictate that $400,000 can dictate that. And so if we put a percentage on it, what they got the last time, even if they started something different, even if somebody, like your daughter, started something different, she went to a scan and what have you, chances are she's not going to get a whole lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
Because we only have $400,000.
Tara?
Maybe that's a benefit of that tiered system. So if a business has something that they want to do and change, they move to that other tier for their application. I don't know if that's a way to just simplify, you know, that problem, that, but they'd still be running into that largest cap.
The cap, so sure.
So I have two comments about that. So if I'm a applicant that has greed, and
I'm sorry for the one.
No, it's okay. Then I want to go in at the max, because if I'm going to be limited to a small amount, I want the biggest small amount that I can get that 5%. So that's one thought. The other thought is, if we made some recommendation for a cap, they didn't know this, so would next year, this year, be the baseline year for the cap, or would they be held to
previous
years? Because that seems like that would not be very fair. So anyway, maybe this pot is not ready to get taken off the stove just yet.
Sam?
I can't believe I'm saying this, but with all of the discussion that we've been having, all of it is very realistic and reasonable discussion. Perhaps we are the ones who decide what they get. I mean, that's our job. And so Tom is right. We have $400,000. We have to split it up in some way. And we might moan and groan about, I wish, you know, we had a million. I think, was it a million that was requested this year? But we don't. And we have to make our decisions. And maybe that's the simplest and most practical way to do this. Yeah.
Well, that's why I think the average, because each of us come from different backgrounds and everything, so that's where the average comes in.
So I guess I will
celebrate that there's so many very wise people in here who can make good decisions.
And there's some people that get it down to the penny.
Yeah.
You know, to me, on an application, if you wanted to say one, like Olivia, if you wanted 1,000 more, I think you write it in a narrative.
Yeah.
This is why I'm asking for this much more money this year, because this is what I would like to do. But
if they're capped at the percentage, then we would be limited
to
that. So I think we've had really good discussions about all this, but I think ultimately Sam's exactly right. We're just going to have to wade through. Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, do you want to do the tier system, or do we want to do?
Keep it like it is, and we just within ourselves know. Okay, this is limit of what I'm given.
That's true, and maybe during our Q&A, since it's mandatory,
mm-hmm.
you have a tough guy like Tom. Okay, so we beat that one, beat that horse to death.
Yeah.
Okay, so next on here is. Okay, go.
I turn it on if I could. I recommend that we keep it just as it is. Okay. That we make no changes to the 20, whatever the next one is, application process.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Do you have anybody that doesn't agree with that? Okay, let it be. Okay, so next in limit or on the discussion is review and approve the 26 cover letter and application.
Oh, wait.
Yes,
I'm
ma'am.
Sorry. To clarify that funding requests cannot cover items already purchased or paid for. We didn't discuss that.
Okay. Where's that at?
That's number 5A5.
under new business last.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, we're on, oh, am I looking at the wrong? It's 5A, and then under review and approve 2026 cover letter and application.
Yeah,
five,
that's where we're at now.
Mm-hmm. So don't we need to discuss whether to clarify?
Before we review and approve the letter, you mean?
Am I looking? What?
I saw it too, but I'm not seeing
Miss Gatewood, we're on the item right above it right now.
Is it on the wrap-up meeting agenda?
We're on the item right above it, review and approve 2026 cover letter and application.
Right. But I thought he had moved past this.
No.
And
there were several items that were listed. That was one of them.
Okay.
But I don't see it.
Just, are you talking about this one?
Okay. Normally what happens is I don't wait. I usually don't. I am a procrastinator. To some extent, but I usually wait for the appropriate time, I think sometime in August or so, and I get with Ms. Snyder, and I have some suggestions, and then she usually comes up with a cover letter. And so more than happy to have input on any of that, so, you know, I don't, if we want to get this done now or just say, if anybody has an idea, either I can have the clerk's office reach out to each and every one of you about what, you know, send the cover letter out and see if you guys want to tweak it, or is that okay? I don't think we should mess with the application, but. Okay, but I think what we'll do is we'll finalize and then we'll send it out to each, so you read it. If you see something that's outstanding and or troublesome, then we can change it.
So pretty much you're just going to change it to from, and we encourage all applicants that it's a mandatory and whatever else you decide to.
Yep, the Q&A and, yeah. Yep. Okay, so now we're down to whether to clarify that the funding request cannot cover items already purchased or paid for.
Is that not part of the application? Or
well, I think, go ahead, Sarah. I know where this is going.
There is a note on the application guide. So one of the bullet points on under the overview says all grant funds must be expended in the year awarded. So I think that is what it's trying to address there.
And I think it's addressed to what we saw at the blood bank.
Mm-hmm.
Is specifically what we saw.
So that's part of the application, right?
Yes.
Okay. So we don't need to do this, number five, because it's already clarified?
I believe it is.
Okay.
It does state to read this page before you start the application.
This is in code already?
I don't know that it's spelled out. I mean, do you know if it's in code, Sarah?
I don't know if it's in the code, but it is in the application guidelines.
And which bullet is that again?
That's the last bullet point. Under on the overview for the application.
Okay. All grant funds must be expended in the year of the awarded.
Okay, can we move on or? Okay. Discussion or review of the committee policies and procedures. I don't think we've ever gotten into those, but sounds like we need to verify if we, you know, I need to write a resolution or ordinance on the changes we'd like to see or just put them in that guideline column. So, okay.
I had a question, Mr. Marnie.
Cool.
I got a question from an applicant during the application process. And they were wondering about electronic signatures versus physical signatures. So I believe it's a fillable form, the Adobe form that goes up. And so they were wondering if they could put an electronic signature, if we would accept that, or if it had to be a physical signature. And I didn't see anywhere that addressed that question.
So are you asking if they can do an electronic signature and email to the city council rather than a hard copy or post?
I think if they're filling, they could still turn it in a variety of different ways, but just if they're filling it out on their computer, if they could throw their electronic signature on it.
But they would still have to physically bring the application or mail it to the clerk's office in that case?
Mm-hmm. Yes, because the whole purpose of the extra copies required is so that it doesn't use city resources to make all their copies for them. So we would not accept an email application. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's settled. Are we no electronic? Is that what we decided?
As long as the guidelines are clear that they can't email their application. Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Sarah. Okay, next meeting, November 2026, exact date to be determined by committee.
I'm sorry. I am stuck.
How can we help you?
I apologize. So I'm back to, I'm stuck on five. I'm sorry. My brain, it just got, I feel like I'm in the snow and my wheels can't get traction. So clarify that funding requests cannot cover items already purchased or paid for. Got it. Absolutely. All grant funds must be expended in the year awarded. If I'm looking at that, and let's just say I had an invoice for something from December of 2025, I got awarded in January 2026. I am expending my award for a purchase that I made in 2025. So does that really clearly tell me that I can't bring forward that purchase or that expense? Does that language clearly tell me that?
I would say yes, because it's for the 2026 award. And I know for finance department, when we're reviewing that, if we saw a December 2025 expenditure, it would not be allowed to go through. But I mean, I'm thinking with my mindset, so I don't know if you're right, if somebody else would not get that same, idea from that line.
And I know what it means to me, but mm-hmm. I'm just thinking to someone who's reading this application, is that language clear enough to say whatever we have in our little bullet that we can't cover items from previous years or previously purchased, or especially if it's something towards the end of the fiscal year, it's December 31st, that they are getting this, but it's really going to apply towards this project that's fully going to launch in the next year. So I don't know. I don't think that for everyone that's as clear as we could make it. And maybe we keep the language in the overview, but we make sure that we really highlight it in the mandatory Q&A.
Okay.
So we hold 10% of their, you know, we don't give them the whole allotment and right off, because we hold, what, 10%?
It's 10%. Yeah, they get the 90% up front, and then when we get their final report, then they get that last 10%.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to head off, because I think it was a new applicant this year that, they were trying to get funds for the previous year?
Okay.
Okay, yeah. So I'm just trying to head off, like, things that we saw as a mistake. So if even if, again, if we don't change the bullet in the overview, if we just really highlight that for maybe the layperson who doesn't have a finance department or an accountant on staff, I think it would be good. And now I have some sand under my tires, and I'm driving out of the ditch.
It wouldn't be a problem, Mr. Marnie. It wouldn't be a problem if we added, like, a sentence to that bullet that says funding cannot cover items already purchased or paid for.
And in the cover letter. We could hit it two times.
I mean, I don't see a problem with adding that just for extra clarification unless the committee doesn't want it.
Well, to me, we all know it was a last-minute application.
And I don't know if he came to the training.
No.
Well, I would certainly support anything that we can do to add clarity helps.
I think we all say amen to that.
Yes.
Okay, so we're down to... Well, the next meeting sometime in November, I think Diana sends out a doodle poll or something along that line. So that will be up to you guys. Any final comments before we adjourn? Yes, ma'am.
I'm still puzzling about the issue that we had of whether we as an organization, as a discretionary fund committee, should be starting being a startup company for a wonderful entrepreneurial activity. I would like to have the city council think about that, because that doesn't make any sense to me. I'm thinking about Gold Panners and WEO and whatever, the all these other organizations started in a committee in the community and built their infrastructure. And it just doesn't seem like that sort of startup is part of our mission statement. So I'm just making a point of telling you all that. I hope that somebody will actually clarify that for us, because I can see right now that if we have a startup committee that's a wonderful group that, you know, has a wonderful event that they want to have that we all want them to have, I can see there'll be 10 more entrepreneurial people who come in too. And we still only have $400,000. Yeah. Yeah. So I hope the city council is aware of it.
That's something we need to set in code then. Correct? Tracy?
Oh, I would just like to say thank you to everybody. I feel like this was a really good discussion, and I feel like this is finally something that's resolved, because we've been tap dancing around this setting a limit and our feelings about the ask of people. But I think even though we landed at the same place, I think the discussion helped us settle in on this is our job, and it can be hard to make those decisions, but this is why we're on the committee. And I just really appreciate the good conversation and the direction that we got, the reminder of what falls under our purview and what does not. And I think I heard that Lonnie, you are with us, you're still with us, you're gonna stay. Did I not hear that, the chair of this committee?
Mm-hmm. So my soul will be here.
Oh, no, we need your soul and your body and your mind.
Well,
so thank you for your
work. I've had my
two
terms. I have to set out a year, and then I can run again. So.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
But I did. I and Ms. Snyder will testify to this, but I did brag about you guys a lot Tuesday morning. I really love this committee.
Well, thank you for being our leader.
Yes.
Well, if no more comments, do I hear a motion to adjourn? Sam? Okay, second?
Second.
Tracy? We are adjourned. Thank you very much.